Off the Ball, GAA.
The line to us, telling us that we would have a pitch, and then the line to us about saying that they'd line it out and to try and keep us there. They try to keep us there on the false pretenses, like, and you'd be very disappointed in that. Like.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman. Official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Right, it's Power Rankings time here. Tuesday for football, Wednesday for hurling. Matthew Brennan's here with me this week. Big week, Matthew.
Yeah.
Are you a jersey wearer?
I've got my jersey on.
You got it on?
Jersey on, yeah.
Do you line them up at the start of the week and go which ones you're going to... Like, have you chosen what you're going to wear on Sunday?
I probably wear this on Sunday. I'll give it a wash. I'll give a fresh wash before I go. But I have to say, on a slight little tangent, that this early into the piece, the Westmeath jersey at the moment is an exceptional piece of kit.
I said it last week.
Yeah,
it's a lovely jersey.
It's
a little bit lighter than normal. Yeah.
I like
the shade.
Yeah.
Your king and guide to football power rankings, as always, Tommy Rooney, back in the line this week. Tommy, how you doing?
Howdy, Michael, Matthew. How are you? Are you well?
Not too bad, not too bad. Are you excited in mid provincial final season that we're in here? Or are you all about kind of just getting this week out of the way and starting off with the real thing?
No, I'm enjoying it. I was in the midst of the madness in Dr. Hyde Park the other day.
Yeah.
And as someone who would see merit in possibly watering down the connection between the provincials and the All-Ireland series, I have to say, the hysteria and the celebrations were off the charts. There's still life in the provincials. I'm just not sure where exactly they should sit in the season themselves. I don't know. There's so much to be gained from looking at how Roscommon celebrated that at the weekend. And likewise, if Westmeath were to get the job done over Dublin, and if Monaghan or Armagh were to claim an Ulster title, there'd be great stories in that one as well.
Yeah. We'll get into the rankings in a second, but let's stop on that for a second. We talked a bit about this on Offswell Breakfast yesterday morning. And it's like Cork and I think we can be a little bit glib sometimes. As, oh, let's keep the tradition of the provincials. They need it, but we'll put it on in the winter before the league, and as if we can just keep it. It wouldn't exist. Like, there wouldn't be that walk into Killarney wouldn't exist if that game was on in February. That Cork and Kerry Munster final would be dead. Likewise, as much as I'm sure the people of Roscommon would have celebrated a win in February or March, it wouldn't have been what happened last Sunday. And it is interesting. What they have at the moment is something that I kind of quite like, in that it is standalone and the league is standalone, but both of them also do have a seeding element to them for what comes afterwards. So it's like they're not like overly connected, but they're also not completely divorced. And, you know, you have the only thing that actually is divorced is the actual finals themselves. But surely we can keep the tradition that when a final comes to it, it matters for its own sake.
Yeah, and that's why I'd be keen to know if it was a conscious decision that they made these finals divorced from the All-Ireland series itself. Because obviously when you get to the final, whether you win or lose it, you're going to be in the same position as you would be, regardless of the outcome. So I'd like to know whether that was like an unintended consequence or whether that was actually something they actively went and did. Because as you mentioned, Tommy, there about where it lies in the calendar, we're not going to get into a structures debate and all that sort of stuff now, as we always seem to flag every week.
Unless you really want to get into this, Tommy, I have some breaking news ahead of the Leinster final.
Hit me with it, Mick.
Now, Matthew was wondering as this happening because he's heard the rumours about training and all, but this is now official.
Is somebody back here, are they?
They're back, Tommy.
Former Westmeath captain John Heslin has rejoined their panel ahead of the Leinster final against Dublin.
Wow.
John Heslin, who was the co-commentator for Westmeath last match 2 weeks
Sensational.
Ago.
Sensational. Is that confirmed?
That is from Will O'Callaghan on our news channel. Him being of Newshound stock, I would say it's as close to confirmed. And anyway, look, Matthew pretty much had it anyway, and we were going to hint at it, but we didn't know for sure. And it seems like things have moved on in the last few minutes.
Yeah, I had heard he was in and around the place doing a little bit of training over the last week or so. Maybe pre-Kildare, I'm not entirely sure, but it obviously had ramped up a little bit when Luke Loughlin's injury happened, the talk around it. Now, that being said, I wasn't sure if he was going to actually be involved on Sunday. I was sceptical as to whether that might be the case, but it seems as though it is. And Wow, that is exciting. That's added a whole other dimension to this thing for me anyway, on a personal level.
But Tommy, John Heslin is like, he's a bit, Matthew's saying he's still like absolutely killing at a club level. He's also like 34, which if you take it as a, especially at a county that wouldn't have like the absolute glut of footballers to pick from, like it's not maybe anybody outside Kerry really. Like 34 is not so, like you can't give up on, if he's willing to play, he's going to add a massive amount still to them. It's not like he's definitely not past it, you know?
No, he's 33, by the way.
Is he 33? Okay, well, there you
go. Not, he, not, not 34 until the middle. Not 34 till the middle of the summer. And by that stage, right, they might be in an All-Ireland semi-final. Yeah. So,
and he's 33 until he's 34, Tommy, like, you know, as we know.
And look at, lads. age is no barrier to kicking two-pointers either. And absolutely. John Heslin is a man that could kick two-pointers in his sleep, I'm sure. And look, we had heard that rumour as well. I kind of hinted at it on the pod on Monday. I was trying to get Paddy to let me know if he knew, but I don't think Paddy picked up on the hint. Mm. And geez, that is just fantastic. That's just a great little extra bit of juice going into the weekend, because I would have questions about Dublin, right? And Flynn Loud a week later in that round one game where it's very important for them to get into round 2A, right?
Yeah.
Westmeath have Cavan next. So regardless of how Westmeath go hell for leather the next day, Westmeath have a game against Cavan that's going to be 50-50. So, like, are Dublin going to risk Con O'Callaghan? Are Dublin going to risk, you know, Owen Merchant, who was out the last day? You know, are they going to take chances on fellas who are on the periphery? Whereas Westmeath are pulling fellas. Hey, is Ronan O'Toole back in the country?
I actually don't know.
I don't know. They got Dennis Glennon. Is he still famous?
I was reading on
John
the...
John Cain. Back.
Well, John Cain and Alan Budamangan are going to be ominous on Friday, so be sure to check that out if you're getting into spirits for Westmeath. I'd heard Andy McCormack as well, Rosemount. He'd been around for a little while, supposedly back in their training as well, so that's another little nugget, but
may as well go for Desi while you're at it. But that's brilliant. Yeah. And look, can I rejig the power rankings? Because John Heslin's return might just shoot them a little higher.
You know what? If you want to make a live call, I'm happy for it when we get to it. But speaking of the power rankings, that's what we're here to do. They are with Harvey Norman, official stats partner of the GA. And before we move on to them, if you do have any gripes with any of Tommy's selections this week, and let's face it, we always do, please get in touch with us on the YouTube comments or on the Off The Ball WhatsApp, which is 0879 180 180. Let us know who you would change and why. Harvey Norman have very kindly given us tickets to give away for one lucky winner each week for a game in Croke Park. So do get involved in the comments with any changes you might have to Tommy's. If you convince Tommy, you'll win the tickets. Nah, it'll be me. Tommy's never going to accept fault. Let's get to page four, where there was a lot of Talton Cup action on. But as you can see there from the lack of arrows, nothing happening. And as we were waiting for you to come on the line there, as the Westmeath jersey comes out now, that John Heslin move has really inspired Matthew there. So for those listening at home, we are now... Oh, I understand now the mistake I made there. But anyway, we'll go back to the power rankings. We're still at New York at 33, Waterford at 32, London 31, Tipperary at 30, Antrim 29, Fermanagh 28, Leitrim 27, Longford 26, Carlow 25. We don't have all day, Tommy, but Tipperary, big win. And
yeah.
Fermanagh also beat Longford. You can understand, fair enough, like, it's a one-off game. They were at home. There are two places behind them. I feel like Tip beating Sligo, a team on page three, should bump them up a little bit, no?
Yeah, look, Michael, there's very little between all these teams, and the lack of arrows will just tell you that I was pretty much on the money with a lot of these decisions.
No, that's not
what... is that how it works, yeah?
Yeah, that is how it works. And I think the Talton Cup needs a little bit of time to iron itself out here. There's results happening all over the place. 28 beating 26, 20 beating 23, 19 losing to 21, 25 losing to 29 after extra time. Carlo in that incredible high scoring game against Antrim, 226 to 617. Matthew, quick maths, what was the score in that game?
35-32.
There you go, good lad. Wexford 219, Limerick 111. That's 18th beating 24th. Sligo 22nd. I get you, right? Sligo were 22nd in the rankings.
Let's bump on page three there, because I want to talk
2 points
Sligo
to Tip. Yeah. Lost by 2 points to Tip in 30th place. If Tipperary can back it up the next day, don't you worry. They will be jumping up the rankings. They're up against Antrim. The winners of that game Make no mistake about it, next week there'll be movement in the Tailteann Cup. This week, there wasn't enough to move the needle.
Okay.
But next week, there will be movement, or the next round. Well, so round 2A, we've got Fermanagh up against Wexford, Antrim against Tip, London against Laois, and Offaly against the winners of Down and Leitrim in round 2A.
Fair enough. And look, there's probably I'd say it's almost like, if you go to page 3 there, we'll just have a look, that Limerick are at 34, Wicklow at 23, Sligo still at 22, they don't drop at all.
Mm.
Clare do drop a couple of places after losing to Offaly. They go to 21, Offaly are at 20, Laois go up a place as well to 19th after their win. Wexford are at 18, and Cavan, who are obviously in the All-Ireland Championship, are on 17. Now, the one thing I'd say about both Sligo and Tip is, first round of the Tailteann, you can cast it aside, that's fine. But Tip are the fourth worst team in the country, according to you here. They gave Cork a good game in Munster, like much better than people were expecting, and then went out and backed it up by winning against a decent side. And then Sligo, I'm sorry, but like I can't countenance a world where you don't have Sligo too high here, given that they lost to Leitrim and Connacht and then lost to Tipperary, and you have Leitrim at 27 and you have on the back of their win against Sligo and performance against Galway, and then you have Tip at 30.
Are you going to give yourself the prize here, are you?
Well, if nobody else enters, I wouldn't mind going to the Leinster final after that.
Yeah, I think surely with a win and all the teams above them sort of losing, I think Tip could have done with a bit of a boost, and maybe Fermanagh as well. I know what you're saying, I get it. They're all winning and losing around each other. It's a poison chalice to get it bang on. I can see a few Tipperary people and Fermanagh people being slightly round off.
That's no problem. And if they want to make a big deal of this in their dressing room, they're more than welcome to. But I think we're going to see a lot of movement. I told you already, after round 2A and 2B. Like, it's the same in the top tier. There's very little movement because the power rankings are on the money at the minute. And if teams aren't backing up the power rankings, if they're being caught on the hop, if they aren't delivering on the field, that's not necessarily my problem. That's their problem.
It's not your problem.
It's not your problem.
It's not your problem that they're not, apparently Tip aren't delivering on the field, being the fourth bottom team, having beat the team who are 22nd and can't get knocked down for it for some reason.
What would they have to have done to get a move to Tipperary, Tommy?
Back it up the next day and you shoot up the rankings. That's the way it works.
What if Sligo lose every match between now and the end of the season? Will they stay at 22?
No. Not a chance. Not a hope.
Well, they only have one match to go if they do.
I haven't got some secret Sligo fetish here. I'm letting you know now. They will move at some stage. Like, it's just give us till round 2A and 2B.
A secret Sligo fetish. That's a title for the episode, if ever there was one. Okay, let's go to slide B. No movement here. And this, I think, is more reasonable considering none of them are playing, as far as I can see. Kildare 16, Westmeath, big chance to go up this week. 15, Down at 14. Tyrone 13, Derry 12, Meath 11, Monaghan at 10, and Louth at 9. We probably litigated all this last week, in fairness. So we might jump straight on, Tom, onto page 1, because there is a good bit to talk about here. We'll go Cork are at 8. They remain at 8. They don't slip down. Mayo at 7. Dublin stay at 6. The only change you've made is you flipped Roscommon and Galway. We'll talk about that in a second. So Roscommon go to 4, Galway at 5. Donegal 3, Armagh 2, and there's really no arguing about Kerry at number 1 at the moment. Just want to start with Cork, right? Munster final, started off well, scored 1-2 in the second half. I believe your Harvey Norman start of the week is coming from this game.
It is, and we'll get to it in a minute.
Oh.
What do you want to say about Cork? Because I am looking forward to you telling me that Cork shouldn't be in the top 8.
I wasn't really going to argue with you because I don't think Cork's performance was any less, was any more disappointing than Loud, say. And actually, I would be in a Monaghan back it up territory. I think Derry had a lot to answer for what happened. As dramatic and exciting and...
It's just one of those mental games.
Yeah, and also, like, I think they deserve a huge amount of credit for it. It's not in any way to take away from them. But I think if you're ranking the teams, I just don't have a huge argument really with where you have... too many of them. I think you could probably toss a coin and land anywhere from 7, I think, given Mayo's form, to 13, and you're not really in, it's nothing too controversial, but do you want to defend it anyway, even though nobody's having to go with you?
No, I just think that's nice to hear that we're all aligned on that one. And like Cork, look, Cork were very disappointing. It was a fabulous opportunity for them. They had an expectant, hopeful crowd, which is what you want. That's what Dermot Murtha told me after the game when I was chatting to him. You want your supporters to be expectant. You want them to have hope. You want to have that pressure as a footballer. Roscommon delivered, Cork didn't. And Cork have flattered to deceive over the years. Do I think Cork are going to be in the top eight in the country on the power rankings at the end of the season? Not a hope.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. I don't. I just don't. They may beat Meath and Parky Rinn the next day. Absolutely. But I don't envisage Cork, this Cork team, being in the top eight in the country. I don't know. I just felt let down at the weekend. I know it's a 2-point game with a couple of minutes to go. But that's the Kerry team that are ravaged by injury. That is a Kerry team that lose Paul Gainey, their captain, before the throw-in. How did Cork not smell blood there? And if they did smell blood and they started so well for the first 10 minutes, I don't know. I know I haven't moved them down, but that's probably to do with the chasing pack more than it is to do with Cork. I wouldn't even call it the chasing pack. I'd call it the purgatory of the power rankings.
That's
6-13.
That's probably the weakest you're going to get, Kerry, I think, in a game of such significance. Like, and yeah, they were not weak, don't get me wrong, because we know the standard of footballer that they do have, but the Kerry team that will play in an All-Ireland final, if they get there, won't look too similar to that. I can't imagine.
Well, the players are missing.
Especially the further you go down the panel, I suppose, when you look at their bench will probably be a lot more recognisable, I suppose, than maybe it was at the weekend, or recognisable to the team that we would have saw them win the All-Ireland with last year. When you say about Cork not having a hope of being in the top eight, in your opinion, come the end of the power rankings, the end of the season, who from that, I won't call them a chasing pack because you didn't, from that loud Monaghan, Meath, Derry, Tyrone, Westmeath, Kildare still in the championship as well, who do you see there being the ones to kind of dislodge Cork, for want of a better word?
Whoever wants it.
Yeah.
Whoever actually decides to grab the summer by the throat and go for it, like. And, you know, it's there. There's opportunities here. You know, Loud had a great opportunity against Dublin. They wilted. Cork had a great opportunity against Kerry. They wilted. Monaghan, you know, had this dramatic comeback, but I would say that's more on Derry falling apart. Meath fell short against Westmeath, caught on the hop. Tyrone, yeah, they had a 1-point defeat, but like the vibes coming out of Tyrone going into the Roscommon game wouldn't fill me with confidence. So it's up to Westmeath if they want to, Matthew. The Heston's back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, don't remind me.
Go and do it.
You get me excited here now.
I'm really interested in the Tyrone Roscommon game.
Yeah.
Because
it's two polar opposites.
For me,
isn't it?
I know what you mean about the vibes, Tommy, and yeah, I'd be listed to that as well. But at the same time, just going by the evidence of our eyes and what Armagh have done since and how impressive they've looked. Like, Tyrone's performance looks better every time you see Armagh. They probably should have won that match. Certainly should have brought it to extra time or so anyway, like you would say. And Armagh squeaked out and did what they don't normally do and not find a draw from, when a victory is there to be had. They did the opposite. But I don't know. I just don't know what to make of them, really. Like,
If Tyrone had their...
They're a shocking league, so you can't have them higher than you have them at the moment. I would agree with that. Like,
yeah, consider it
the vibes. Yeah. The vibes I'm talking about, lads, is you know, on the challenge game circuit. Okay. The word is Tyrone are struggling with injuries and bodies. They're the vibes I'm talking about. It's not necessarily, you know, the mood in the camp.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Which is, you know, a fairly well trodden cliche. It's not that I'm talking about. I think they're just struggling to get the right bodies onto the field. Maybe that's cleared up in the last week or so. I'm talking about a heat check that I'd done maybe 10 days ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it's cleared up, but it'd want to clear up significantly to go down to the Hyde and take down the Roscommon team.
It's going to be absolutely hopping then as well, too.
It is. And I think the fact that we'll come to Roscommon in a minute, but I get to our stat of the week, lads.
Yeah, go
do, for it. Yeah, yeah, because I want to talk a little bit about Kerry for a second as well, yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at our stat of the week and I was trying to find it out here, that our Harvey Norman stat of the week, and I was reading Paul Fitzpatrick's piece in the Irish Times. He does a brilliant column early every week, usually on a Monday. And it's called The Schmozzle. Great name for a column. And just at the bottom of it, he'd buried the fact that David Clifford had just scored his 24th championship goal. He overtakes Colm Cooper on the list, who had 23 goals. And he's now third in the all-time list. Any idea who's first and second?
For question. Championship goals or Kerry?
Championship goals, all time. First on the list.
Bomber.
is a current intercounty footballer. Second on the list is a teammate of Bombers.
Mikey Sheehy.
No, you're both wrong. Mikey Sheehy is second on the list with 29 championship goals. And
give me a second now.
Number one.
Michael Murphy.
No, and it's amazing. You throw out Michael Murphy. I think Michael Murphy only has between 9 and 11 championship goals. You know, championship goals are so hard to come by. They really, really are. And you go through the record books, you talk to forwards.
No, it wouldn't be Paul Gainey, is it?
No, it's not a teammate.
Okay.
This man has never won in All-Ireland, and he is the top championship goal scorer of all time.
What?
He may win one this year.
He may win one this summer. Let me look at your power rankings here, Tommy.
Dermot Murta.
Killian O'Connor has 34 championship goals.
Of course you forget. Yeah.
Worth noting that Mikey Sheehy has 5 goals in All-Ireland finals. 1 against the Dubs in 78, 2 against the Dubs in 79, 1 against the Rossies in 1980, and another against Tyrone in 86. David Clifford's championship goals, just to give you a rundown of them. He got 4 in his debut season, 2018. Galway, Monaghan, Kildare, all suffering. 2 in 21. He got 0 in 19, 0 in 20 when they were knocked out by Cork. 2 in 21 against Clare and Tipp. 1 in 22 when they went on and won the All-Ireland. That was against Mayo earlier that summer. 5 in 2023.
Yeah,
Clare, Cork, Loud. 2 in 24 against Meath. 8 last season.
Yeah, he scored a rake,
he got 8 goals in the first year of the new rules. And maybe that's a sign of things to come. And he's got 2 in 2 games so far this year. So I just think, and you just see the manner in which, and James Dunne was talking about this in the pod during the week, a goal is more than a goal. Like a block is more than a block, okay? These moments that happen in games, they're energy shifters, they're momentum swingers. And when Clifford buries a goal, it's worth more than 3 points. I know it was a 4-point goal. We tried it for a while. He celebrates it. And that just totally settled down Kerry at the weekend. The way he takes it around, takes on the double hop from Tony Brosnan's hand pass. He soaks in Daniel O'Mahony. He, you know, invites the contact. He bruises by him. He sells a little dummy hop on the solo. And then bang, back of the net. And there must be no better feeling than scoring a championship goal as a Kerry footballer.
So start of the week, how many goals? Yeah.
24 championship goals,
24.
And he's third now in the all-time list.
I looked this up for the crappy quiz earlier in the year, and I added in league goals, and it was over 50.
Yeah, it's mental.
And that was during the league. So you can add in a few league goals plus his 2 championship goals to that as well. Like,
And he may have overtaken.
Yeah.
He may have overtaken Mike Sheena. Mike Sheena had 51 league and championship goals, so I wonder if
he's
actually over
he must
that.
Be. He was definitely in the 50s, so he must be. It was 50 or 51 at the time. So you're looking at David Clifford, like, you know, with what, 27 years of age, and plenty more goals to come, you would imagine, even this year alone. Like,
yeah, will he score a goal in All-Ireland final, senior final? He scored some absolute wonder goals as a kid in Hogan Cup finals, in All-Ireland minor finals.
Yeah, remember that minor final? Do you know? There, yeah. The thing is, though, it's like, it's not going to be something that hangs over him, I don't think, given he's had the performances against Galway. In 22, like that's kind of because that final exists as the Clifford final,
and he's also
not going to be one of those ones where he never did that. And like, you know, remember,
yeah,
the,
I know what you
the
mean.
Certain hurler we're not allowed to talk about anymore who was like, you know, did he ever have a great All Ireland final? Like, you know, Clifford has already had that, like, you
and
know,
he's still while doing this and scoring all these goals, he's still swinging twos for fun and he's occupying about 4 different defenders at the same point. Actually, to be fair, Cork at the weekend only threw one at
which was an issue,
it was, and that's probably something else we're getting into, I suppose, on the Cork front.
But quickly on Kerry, because I think we probably talk about Galway Roscommon before we go, obviously. Like, if you the list of players that they have now, they did have Gavin White come back on, Dermot O'Connor played, like, you know, the amount they actually only need a few back is the funny thing. We don't know how long Paddy's going to be out for, but it looks like he's going to miss the Donegal game anyway. Gainey, as you mentioned, there's a lot of players there that nobody will even mention when you go through that list. Someone like, you know, Brian O'Bug, like, whatever, like that's a big loss for them, like, you know. But they just seem to have, they at this stage of the season anyway, they're like, it felt like a crisis last year when they had the injuries. It felt like they weren't going to, before they played Cavan, never mind when they played Armagh, there was a kind of a thing of like, Kerry can't win All-Ireland with these injuries, they're screwed. And I remember, like, Dermot O'Connor went down after 5 minutes in that game, and you're like, God, it's getting worse, not better. And they were fine.
The throw-in,
they were fine, obviously. Was it in the throw-in? Well, and But this year, there's no panic because it just feels like they've done it and they've proved it.
Yeah.
And then two is like, the lads who are coming through are just, they're ready for road. Like,
yeah, like Keith Evans yeah. just looks so impressive. Better and better as the year goes on. And an elusive, perfect forward for the new rules. Tomas Kennedy kicked his frees at the weekend, but looked sharp, looked good. You mentioned Dermot O'Connor, who, you know, would be such a defining player for Kerry if he's ready to rock and he's fit. Gavin White's return is massive, Michael. Upyoglik White and Mike Breen were such a platform for Kerry around breaking ball and driving them forward last season. So, yeah, there's big, big calls. Like, you know, Shane Ryan, I think, is a huge loss.
Yeah.
At the weekend there, obviously, Shane Murphy's still in goals and is doing his job really well. There's Sean Broderick on the bench. But, like, Kerry's standby list had one of the coaches on their standby list.
Mm.
Brian Kelly of Legion, the goalkeeping coach, was actually on the standby list at the weekend. And that kind of shows you the depth of the injury crisis when they don't even have enough keepers to throw in there. But, look, I think that's the decision that they use Kelly as their fourth-choice keeper, yeah.
Yeah, just on something slightly around the game. I mean, Killarney looked absolutely unbelievable at the weekend. I mean, it always looks unbelievable just like looking at it on the television, like the background, the backdrop, one of these picturesque things. It's incredible. But there did seem to be a lot of expectation there on the Cork front. Like, I imagine the Cork people will be seriously disappointed with how that went in the end.
Yeah. I still think Cork are on, like, I don't know how much of a journey or whatever, but like they would see themselves still as taking a step forward, getting back into Division One. Obviously tried to catch Kerry, but it's not as if there's a feeling that they're as good as Kerry or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You feel like you have to take these opportunities when they come around.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed like Tommy was as well. And yeah,
look, they have Meath and they've moved that game to Porky Rin, and there's been absolutely very little between Meath and Cork. I think Porky Rin will suit the Cork footballers down to the ground, definitely in their heads. So you win that round one game against Meath and you're in a phenomenal position for the rest of the summer.
Okay. Roscommon going to number four is our county story of the week. So obviously, like, their performances so far this year have been absolutely unbelievable. You add it to the fact that it's a treble in Connacht for the first time in their history. With minor, the under-20s are playing Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final tomorrow, I believe. And, you know, just been absolutely incredible. And one thing, Tommy, that I was thinking about was when they were winning the Connacht's under Anthony Cunningham, saying, like, what was it, 2019? And, you know, there was a good side, but I always was very frustrated with them. I always felt like there was so much more there than they were given. They'd have these awful negative displays where they wouldn't back themselves. This team is the opposite of that. This team will go all day. They'll go 6 points down and start kicking two-pointers to bait the band. Like, they'll go for goal when it's there in the first half. They're such a thrilling team to watch, like, which is just very much the opposite of the Roscommon team in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and I think that was the moniker, I think, that was bestowed upon them were the Baggies of the GAA, West Brom. They were up and down the divisions. You couldn't back them. Michael, in Croke Park, you know, even you go back to 2001, the last time they won a Connacht title in the Hyde and that famous win, that brilliant goal by Lohan against Mayo. And Galway go on to beat them in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Galway go on to win the All-Ireland that year in 2001. Was it 17? They win Connacht. Mayo go on and beat them in an All-Ireland quarterfinal after a replay in Croke Park. For Roscommon this year, phenomenal. They've achieved that. But they know as a group, they need to have a couple of big wins in the All-Ireland series. And more than anything, Roscommon people need a win in Croke Park this summer. And I think that team is young enough and good enough and brave enough, and they have the depth to have a really long run this summer. And I'll be honest, I lingered over this decision on the power rankings.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
No, I think so.
You know, I did think about it.
I think it's a fair Galway's question as to whether they should be higher than Galway at this stage. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think Galway's All-Ireland chances have been hindered in any sense by this. And Port Joyce talked about the big picture afterwards. But what I will say is, Roscommon, welcome to the Big Five, because you are in the Big Five right now in the power rankings, and rightfully so. And go and back it up against Tyrone. Go and secure your place in round 2A and see can you get yourselves into an All-Ireland quarterfinal, because like, look, what a brilliant football county. We were raving about Monaghan last week and the manner in which they generate footballers, and I had a lovely, eloquent way of putting it, that they have footballers coming out of their arse pockets. Roscommon are very much the same. Like, the manner in which they develop and, you know, keep recycling footballers and coming up with different, you know, really strong minor teams and 20s teams, and there's just a constant regeneration of quality in that county. And it's just, I think they're a great football county. I think they just are absolutely obsessed by it, and they probably just need a little bit more success to go with it.
I think the biggest thing as far as them swapping with Galway in your list is the fact that Galway didn't underperform at the weekend.
I thought Galway played well. Galway played, I'd be happy with them.
Yeah, like, it's not the best we've seen Galway over the last couple of years, but it's by no means a bad performance from them at all. And Roscommon went toe to toe with them for most of the game. They built up a lead, they came back, and the other way around.
The big Galway players played well.
Yeah, they did. And the depth that seems to be in that Roscommon panel is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that Mark Dowd, and credit to him, didn't decide to throw any of the Bridges lads straight back in because he didn't feel the need to, and he trusted the lads that kind of paid him well during the league campaign. I mean, can we talk about Dara Heenan for a minute? Like, oh my God, what an outrageous performance. Like, as far as a lad who was just electric in everything he did, and then when he gets Bairn in on goal, it's just a little side foot in, like there's not a care in the world. And then even for Damien Comer's goal, who's the man who's getting there to make a tackle? It's him. I know he didn't get there in the end, but he, like, the legs, everything about it was ridiculous. And he's not one of these guys that we would have talked about in before the league got underway, I suppose. And it's, again, credit to Mark Dowd for not necessarily unearthing these guys, but trusting them.
Look, things had gone a little stagnant in Roscommon under David Burke. They were never a million miles away, but something wasn't right. And I think actually Burke got on quite well with them for a lot of it, but it maybe was a year too long. We know a lot of fellas stepped away earlier this year, but it just strikes me that it's one of the happiest camps in the country. And Mark Dowd has fostered that. And I think it's because of how fair he is, and how direct he is, and how consistent he is. And as a footballer, knowing that you've earned your spot and you're going to keep your spot until somebody takes it off you is such a massive thing to have. And I think that's why you're able to turn around to Darragh Craig, who got suspended, probably the footballer of the league alongside Conor O'Donnell, and say, you missed out, the boys delivered against Mayo, Galway are going to be bringing in Damien Comer to win this game. Can you come on and win this game for us? Comer comes off the bench, scores 1-2, wins a free, that's converted, has an unbelievable impact, then gets stung for a free that's moved forward, right?
Get that in the
Roscommon's bench. Roscommon's bench contributed 5 points. A two-pointer from Paul Carey, that was massive. Mm. Seconds after Damien Comer's goal. And then Craig kicks a free, misses a sitter, but hits that crucial two-pointer off his left. That, I've already said it, one of the best I've seen in a moment like that from play. Like, absolutely glorious stuff to allow Roscommon have a chance to seal the deal. And they did. Dimmer Murtha delivered with the last 3 scores of the game. And, like, you talk about that happy camp. They have 5 Bridges players on the bench. Shane Canan, Connor Hand, Pierce Frost, Rory Fallon, Brian Stack. In any given year, they would likely start for Roscommon. But right now they're coming on and they're bringing punch and an impact. And they're, like, Brian Stack, look, his body's probably not right at the minute. But I tell you what, he looked good afterwards doing the sprints on the side of the field in the hide and running into the dressing room to his teammates. He didn't look like he was put out by not coming on the last day. Like, you know, you mentioned Dara Heenan. Colm Neary was talking to some of my colleagues in the press afterwards and said that he's faster than Heenan at the minute. And I always would have penned Conor Hand as the fastest footballer in that squad. They are absolutely rapid, and, like, what a threat to have.
Yeah. Biggest thing for me actually was before the Comer goal, when Sean Kelly rips the crossbar and it goes over the bar and went to 3, the flow of the match at that stage felt like Roscommon's race was run. Mm. That Galway had got on top, Comer was playing well, they were doing enough, and even with just 3 points, which is nothing, I kind of thought it was over. And then it was confirmed to me by Galway scoring the goal pretty much straight after. The fact that Roscommon have so much kind of, like, historical self-doubt playing at home, you know, even Donny Smith said to us on Friday morning they'd rather it was in Pearce. Like, he's only been in the squad last year. That means it's a real thing. That means it's something that's within them. And the fact that they were able to settle it all down and have the composure, getting the score straight away after the goal is massive. It makes it a 1-point goal, like, you know. But at the same time, the fact that they weren't beaten, and there was, what, 8 minutes on the clock when the goal went in, Six points down, nine left. Yeah, just probably, over 61 gone. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. It was closer to nine, but still to have that composure to go and do it, I was really, really impressed with him. That's the thing for me. That's the difference between a team playing well and match winners. You know what I mean? Like a team that you wouldn't rule them out in any match play environment now for the rest of the season. You know, so I think it's interesting you put them above. We were talking about it with David Hyland yesterday morning, and the question was like, Who would be favourites against them between now and the rest of the season? And we said straight away, Kerry, Armagh, Donegal. And I threw in Galway. I think if they played again, possibly on a neutral field, I still think Galway are favourites.
Yeah.
But it's a close one. And as you say, it's a real top five now. Like,
I lingered on this, right? But you also got to take into account, okay, there was a unique treble on the line as well for Roscommon. They've never done this before. Mayo and Galway have. They won the minor and the 20s a week apart. They've got a 20s All-Ireland semi-final during the week too. You mentioned the kind of the stats or the little kind of quirks that they hadn't won a Connacht final in the Hyde since 2001. Like these things are all weighing on this group. And I also think the depth that Dowd has developed and the happiness of the squad means that they're going into their own game in a really healthy position.
Yeah.
There might be changes the next day. You know, if somebody drops out to injury, they're in a really good position. So, look, a Galway might jump over Roscommon. They might beat them in round 2A. You know, loads can happen. But right now, Roscommon deserve to be fourth in the country. They're our county story of the week. And look at our Hawkeye moment of the week, the close call of the week. It's probably Sean Hurston's decision to move forward that free from Damien Comer. You know, Comer kind of says he didn't hear the whistle. I think the referee is playing energy at that minute. I think he made a right call. I think Roscommon have them on the ropes. They're desperately chasing it. They're 67-30 on the clock when Darragh Craig... they're 66-30 on the clock when Craig scores, I think. And then just over 2 minutes left when Murtagh strikes over the two-pointer. So we all, I've said this before on Off the Ball Breakfast, we all know in Gaelic football how to accidentally do something.
Yeah.
And make it seem like you didn't mean it. Like, Comer tried to accidentally do something that he didn't actually hear it, but he got stung for it. But I would say, I think Roscommon were actually lucky that they didn't get stung.
I was about to say, did Galway get that same, same piece of refereeing? I don't know.
And I watched that back. I had a behind the goals angle of it as well. I watched it back. I think they were very lucky because if that's moved forward, Shane Walsh, who's already kicked 9 points and he's got very little mention all week, Shane Walsh kicked 9 points, 2 two-pointers on his left, one off the deck on his right, would have sent that game to extra time.
Big win though. Big win. Hard to get a 2-pointer into that win. If you're trusting anyone.
Yeah.
He had nailed one. He had nailed one 10 minutes beforehand. He would have scored from the top of the arc.
All right. Tommy, thanks very much. Just to mention again, if you have any issues with any of Tommy's selections, tell us in the YouTube comments or on the Off The Ball WhatsApp 087-9180-180. Let us know what you would change and why Harvey Norman have given us tickets for Croke Park games for a lucky listener every week for the rest of the season. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I was going to mention Westmeath are also going for a unique treble at the weekend.
Are they?
Beating the Dubs at minor level, under 20 level, and looking to cap it off at senior level as well.
Westmead, Dublin.
Listen, tell me, I want
Monaghan Armagh. That's the weekend ahead.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
The Talisman Cup and ahead.
Down in Leitrim too.
Down in Leitrim. Obviously, the first round of the Talisman Cup as well. Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. Matthew, Tommy, thanks a million.
Cheers.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.